October has been nationally recognized as Domestic Violence Awareness Month since 1987. In President Obama's official proclamation a few Octobers back, he said all Americans can play a role in ending domestic violence. Each of us can promote healthy relationships. We can speak out when we see injustice in our communities, stand with survivors we know, and change attitudes that perpetuate the cycle of abuse. But, you might ask, must we talk about domestic violence and dating abuse at church? I do believe we must. This month's church-wide theme here at the UU Church of Haverhill is Unitarianism and Universalism. And we're gonna try to look at what that means to be, what it is to be a UU, whether we're nestled in this cozy sanctuary of ours with our fellow parishioners who are often like-minded, or when we're out and about in our communities with all kinds of different people and their backgrounds and their thoughts. And a few years ago, I had the privilege of co-teaching a seminary course on the theological perspectives surrounding domestic violence and dating abuse with a man called Reverend Dr. Marvin Ellison. As a United Church of Christ minister, he focused on the role of the church in what he called justice making. This, the aspiring UU ministers in the room were very quick to point out, is our sixth principle, exactly. I know I sometimes forget that UUs have not cornered the market on social justice, and maybe you do as well. It's something many, if not most, people of faith aspire to and have for thousands of years. Around here, we talk about justice making as the goal of world community, with peace, love, and justice for all. Upstairs in religious education, we simply say, to build a fair and peaceful world. In his book, Making Love Just, my colleague Ellison said, one ongoing task in justice making is making the connection between people's personal pain and larger societal ills. Intimate violence is social oppression writ small within personal relationships. What Ellison would go on to say is that yes, men, women, and transgender people all may experience domestic violence or dating abuse. However, what we know from experience, from research, and from simply counting the bodies of those who have been murdered by their partners or family members is that this is a societal ill that disproportionately impacts women and girls of all sexual orientations and identities, gay men and boys, and transgender people. Why? Because implementing and maintaining an ongoing pattern of power, control, intimidation, and domination is much easier when the person you're abusing is a member of a historically marginalized group. The ways that our culture teaches us to view and treat some people as less valuable, less intelligent, and less worthy of respect plays out in lower wages, sluggish criminal justice response, and widespread acceptance that some couples are just like that. As Unitarian Universalists, we should be outraged that we live in a country where the biggest risk to the safety of our daughters and some of our sons is the person they've fallen in love with. We should be thinking about how that risk to our loved one's safety is a direct result of hateful rhetoric that robs many groups, particularly women, of their inherent worth and dignity. The language our society uses to construct women as the other and less deserving of basic human rights has been rampant during this election cycle. This weekend's leaked tapes being no exception. Until we stop tolerating this kind of language from some of our nation's most famous figures, until we call it what it really is, hate speech, the violence will go on and on. As you use, we should all be zooming into a more localized view of this issue. We should be asking ourselves what we can do to make the relationships of our neighbors, our parishioners, and our friends safer. All of our principles call on us to bring out the best in our fellow humans and in the world we live in. So today, I just want to share some simple, practical steps that we can all take towards creating peace in all of our homes. First, it's so important that we stop asking, why doesn't she just leave? Or saying, well, if I were him, I'd just get a divorce, when we hear about domestic violence or dating abuse in our community. The most dangerous time in the entire life of a battered person is when they've left their abusive partner or made it clear that they want to break up. That is when a victim is most likely to be assaulted or killed, because abuse is all about control. And when the domineering partner loses that control, they are likely to go to extremes to get it back. Instead of, why don't you leave, we can ask, how can I help? Or what would you like to have happen? And really listen to the answer. Another thing we as UUs can make sure we do is to not be shy when we see a bruise or another type of injury on a coworker or a friend. Ask them what happened. It's not easy to do, but it acknowledges something so big. It acknowledges that you see them, shows that they're not alone, and communicates that their suffering is not as invisible as their partner wants them to believe that it is. And even if they tell you that they just fell down the stairs, or even if they really did fall down the stairs, you've sent the message that you're there to talk if they ever want to have you be listening to them. That message is priceless. It sounds simple, but to someone whose partner is isolating them, telling them they're worthless and unloved, it can make a huge difference. And finally, as UUs, we need to tell our friends or family members that the abuse they experience at the hands of a partner, boyfriend, or girlfriend is not their fault. There is no excuse for using power and coercion in a relationship, although those who do it will blame their behavior on an endless list of factors. Let your friend or family member know that there are local services available that you heard about at church in Haverhill and Lawrence and Newburyport and anywhere they may live in the country. I've put flyers for some of these programs on the RE table in the Murray Room and in our bathrooms here at the UU Church of Haverhill. These are not merely shelters. They are support groups, transitional living programs, legal services, counseling for children, and many, many other things. If there was one thing I heard most in my 7 years working with women who had survived abuse in Maine, it was that they wished they had known about the free and confidential help sooner. In today's second reading, you heard from one of those women who sought to make meaning of her journey by helping others understand all the help they could access by simply picking up a phone. She wrote her story several years ago and asked me to share it with as many people as I possibly could. Her words resonated with me in 2012 when I first read them, and they resonate with me today. She had many guardian angels along her journey, helping her believe in herself and know that there was help available when she was ready to seek it. This is what we do as UUs, isn't it? We show up for those who are suffering. We offer what we can and assure those we're worried about that they are loved, that they are cherished, and that they are important, no matter what struggles they're facing. A few weeks ago, Reverend Frank preached about seeking as a holy act. I think our lives are full of holy acts. And I would venture that it's a holy act to power through the awkwardness of asking someone about their bruise, or offering to listen to a story that you very much do not want to hear. It is a holy act, too, when we recognize that the way some people treat their partners, their boyfriends, or their girlfriends is a microcosm of larger societal oppressions, bigger messages we get about who is worthy and who is not. As my colleague Ellison points out, the faith wager of a liberating Christian spirituality is that people can live more principled lives when we reject the belief and the social practice that men are more important than women, that white-skinned people are superior to people of color, and so forth. Our spiritual vitality as people of faith increases when we no longer grasp for control, but enthusiastically embrace others as our co-equals. Therein lies powerful, world-altering good news. Blessed be, and amen.